Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for the firm of Harris and Meringue.
I was terrified that I was not going to make the show on time.
Patrick Harris.
Hi, friend.
Danny Meringue.
I'm one of those weirdos.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hi, friends. What is today? Thursday?
Wednesday. Come on. I know the day. This happens once every now and then.
Today is Wednesday.
And the only reason I know that is because I have something to do tonight.
What do I got to do tonight? I don't think I got anything to do tonight.
It's a weird night for me, man. I was just telling Sprague. This is going to be the first Blazers game live action that I'm going to miss in more than a decade.
You're not
going
to put it up on your phone?
No.
I don't even know how to watch the game tonight.
I do.
I don't even know if I'm going to be able to watch the game
tonight. KUNP 2.2 on your HD antenna or Xfinity channel 302.
I do not have either of those.
Well, you can.
The antenna is pretty easy. I actually reached out. I was one of those. I went out and I got one for free from
the Blazers. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but I think they're ugly.
You can hide them.
You can hide it like behind your TV.
You don't have to see it. This is not the 60s.
If your TV is like mounted on the wall, you can hide it behind the TV.
You can literally just tape it to the back of it.
I thought it needed to be up against the window to see outside.
No. Like I said, this is not the 60s. Yeah, our broadcasting is a little bit better.
It's not rabbit ears.
I'm still mad that this is the route I have to go. I pay so much money for watching whatever I want to watch.
It's $4 and it's free after that.
It's always four bucks.
It's quite literally the cheapest option you can get.
I didn't pay for mine. $4. I got mine for free.
Yeah, you could have gotten it for free.
And it just basically looks like an oversized mouse pad.
That's stupid.
But it's on the wall behind the TV.
Yeah, you don't see it.
I don't know if I'm going to go to the store and get the antenna today. What do you think happens first? Patrick gets an antenna or goes on Twitter?
Antenna.
Ooh. Because you've already been on Twitter and left.
Yeah, I mean a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
So I'm going to go with the
antenna. Is coming to an end.
I don't know. We've gone this far and I'm still doing okay.
Yeah, that's because I'm still getting everything organized.
I don't know. Everything's still holding it together,
You're
my friends.
You're going to be there.
The old Reddit running strong in P. Harris's veins, let me tell you.
Going to be there.
I got called out at the coffee shop this morning because I was on my phone when it was my turn to order. But I did have to go to my defense because the guy who ordered in front of me, first of all, couldn't figure out how to use his, like, Apple Pay on his phone or his, you know, when you can double click and the credit card comes up. He couldn't figure out how to use that. And he wasn't an old. And then he stood there while they were making his coffee instead of going around to the edge where you pick up said coffee. And so I was like, well, this idiot's not going to move. So I'll just sit here and start scrolling. Then they were like, Patrick, it's your turn. You done doom scrolling over there?
Mm.
I got called out.
They know your name?
Well, yeah, I go over there almost every day.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Some of them listen to our show, Danny.
Oh, look at that. Good for them.
Shout out them.
Good for them. Thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm probably going to have a little bit of FOMO here. People have already asked me. No, Joe and I will not be doing the preseason games. We will be back starting the regular season.
You got fired?
No, we're just doing we're doing the regular season. We're not doing preseason. But yes.
Tom Dundon's coming for you, dude.
I made the announcement a couple days ago. Joe Simons and I are back doing Rip City Wrap-Up. So we'll be doing the postgame show.
And when
when
does the postgame show start?
Immediately after Trailblazers postgame.
How am I going to watch that?
You can watch it the exact same way.
Oh, man, dude. I'm not watching Blazer
games. KUNP 2.2 on your HD antenna or Xfinity channel 302.
Yes. I'm not going to watch Blazer games or your show.
Or you can watch us live streaming on YouTube, and maybe there might be a podcast platform coming as well that captures the show and delivers it to you after every game.
Maybe I could do the YouTube. That I can do.
See?
Mostly because YouTube is free.
Yep.
I like free.
There you go.
It's always $4. Huh?
I want my $2. strong version of that. But yeah, so we're not doing preseason. We're doing a little bit of stuff to kind of get ready. We got to do a commercial shoot tomorrow morning at the butt crack of dawn following this concert that I'm going to get home from at midnight.
I also love chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, I may or may not be holding a chicken sandwich from a particular restaurant.
Spicy chicken sandwich.
And I may ham this up in a just horrid, horrid way.
You can start bringing that in every day for food.
I mean,
can you get one of those like Happy Gilmore endorsements?
Oh yeah,
Subway for life.
That's, well, I mean, this is going to be like that's the vibe of the commercial. This cold cut combo, like that's the vibe I'm going for. They're going to tell me no. That's what I'm selling.
We were talking about this yesterday, dude. I want the full major
league. Major league. It's a thumbs
home
up.
Run.
Home run. Like that's what I'm hoping they'll let us do.
And I love in Major League Two when he's doing the deodorant.
Yeah.
It's like anti-sport or something like that. It's not Old Spice.
But it's adjacent.
But it's something like that. And he's standing there and he's holding the thing upside down. Mm-hmm. And the director goes, "It's upside down." And Charlie Sheen just goes, "Upside down." Upside down. That's great.
It's a wonderful thing.
I don't know if I could do TV, you know. I love being here in radio.
It's a different world, man. It's a different world.
I'm not pretty enough for TV.
I mean, neither am I. And let me tell you right now, being fat and pasty white on TV last year was not fun. And with the long hair.
I know.
It was a rough place to be.
I know. When I was working at my last job at the brewery, we have Blazer games on TV all the time. You know, we ran specials. Mm-hmm. You wear your gear. You get like a dollar out happy hour throughout the game or whatever it was. And then the game would end and I'd be doing my stuff as the place starts to slow down a little bit. And I'd look up and there were your luscious locks on the television.
I mean,
I took this job for your hair.
More than
and a, then you cut it
I know,
off.
More than a few people like grow it back, and I have way too many people in my life that are far too important to me that do not want it. So it is not coming back. I will tell you, it was a lot. I mean, it was down on my shoulders at one point in time.
Yeah.
Souk was mad at me when I cut it off. He's like, "How dare you?"
Coming in on the text line, just the two of you. On the TV show,
so it'll be
not a three-man team this year.
So Tyree will pop in occasionally, but it's the old school duo. It's Joe and I on main with appearances from folks. I think Casey Holdall is going to come by. We're still working out some stuff. I'm hoping to do some on location more at Moda this year. Hopefully, that's something that'll work out, and then get some more content that way as well. So, we got a bunch of stuff that we're trying to work through and hopefully make happen. So, I'm excited. It's cool to be back. This is Joe and I have been doing this for almost a decade now.
It's crazy.
It's absolutely nuts that's actually a thing. So, to everybody out there who said I hate you and you'll never continue to do this, suck it.
Oh, okay, all right. Yikes.
Speaking of Reddit, don't get me wrong. I see the red threads. I know how much you hate me. Guess what? I'm still cashing checks. Deal with it.
It is really strange when I go on the Reddit feeds mm-hmm. and they're just blasting the guy I work with.
Yeah. It's fine by me.
I'm like, oh, God.
Hate watch. You're still watching.
You got a burner account?
No.
I should have a burner account. I need a burner account.
No, look,
What's the point of having a burner account if you admit to having a burner account?
Yeah, no,
and I'll throw them off my scent. Like, yeah, sometimes I'll be like, yeah, that Danny guy sucks.
Yeah, no.
And other times I'll be like, guys, Danny brought up a great point today. Did you listen to the firm of Harrison Meringue today?
That Harris guy.
That is one sexy son of a bitch.
That is a great show from 10 to 1 on 105.1 The Fan,
Indeed.
The Fan Sports Network.
Or the Odyssey app or on YouTube.
And the business's best producer.
We do have Casey in there today.
Yeah,
shout out Casey.
We do. What's up, Casey?
The future best producer here at
there
the
you
station.
You know, I'm on Reddit. I've openly disclosed who I am on there. I never once hid behind it. The Reddit name's Mini Moose.
Nice, dude. Calling it out.
Yeah.
I can't hide mine. My name is in mine.
Yeah, no. Moose was my call sign in the Air Force. So
I knew that.
Yeah. So and Moose was gone. And the old joke, God, what was his name? Brian Regan. Flock of Moosin, Flock of Meese, Moosin.
I'm sorry, do I need to hit the dump button?
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, no. A little Flock of Moosin. Flock.
I got nothing.
Flock.
Flock?
Flock.
Flock of Moosin.
Yeah.
Is Moosin the plural for moose?
Yeah, that was the joke. Moosin, well, meese.
I'm lost here.
Well, yeah. Moose is the plural for moose.
Yes, but that was always the joke, and so
meese.
So that was the Reddit name was Mini Moose.
Mooses.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm still
moose
lost.
Eye.
I'm still lost.
A pack of Moosin.
I'm gonna go back to focusing on my computer here.
There you go. I'm babe.
Your computer. Your computer.
Yeah, Casey, are you a Casey or a Casey as in the name?
That is a great question.
He's Casey, like spelled out.
Okay.
Yeah. Like Casey at the bat.
Exactly.
Okay. So it's like a
with a C?
With a C.
With a C.
With a C. Okay. Yes. Okay.
Traditional spelling.
Because, you know, with the Trailblazers, we have Casey Holdall, Casey, and then
he is a C.
Yes. And then Kevin Calabro is also KC.
But he's a K.
Yes. But he's a KC as in the initials.
Oh, man, I'm so confused today. Yeah,
my head hurts.
My head hurts, too, dude, and I'm not even hungover.
I tell you what, man, I'm feeling a lot better today than I had to sit in 2 hours of traffic before I got here.
Dude,
we're... Look, if you go back and watch that show from the beginning, I just didn't have it. It sucked the life out of me.
I left work on time today, and I got to work on time today.
You left work on time today?
I left home on time
today. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I left like I always do, and I got here
at the same time. Did take me like 10 minutes longer today to get here than usual, because as you got off Germantown onto the Highway 30 bypass, there is a stalled school bus blocking one of the lanes.
Mm.
That stinks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. School bus? Oof. I had a school bus.
Screw those kids.
I had a school bus literally around the corner.
Damn it, kids.
It was Monday. It's a one-way coming down, was it 14th, I think? He just stopped in the middle of the street and popped his yellow lights. And I'm like, oh, he must be picking somebody up. He just sat there for 5 minutes and just didn't move, didn't do anything. And I'm like,
5 minutes, or did it just feel like five minutes?
No, 5 minutes. Mm. And at that point in time, I put it in reverse because everybody else behind me had gone and went out and around. I was like, what? It's a one-way street. You can't just park this thing in the middle of a one-way street and just sit here, bro. What are we doing? What are we doing? Like, if you're picking people up, cool, but like, what's the deal here?
Won't someone think of the children?
Yeah, I was like, come on, man.
Oakley dokley. Well, we got a great show for you today. Tyson Alger joins us at 10:30 like he always does as our Duck Insider. Big game against Indiana this week. I don't know if you heard about that, but you can catch that right here on the Fan Sports Network. Pre-game, post-game, during, you know, boss man Dusty Hera on the sidelines. Should be a pretty good game, so we'll talk to Tyson about that. He'll be with us for a half hour. A little bit of baseball to get to. It is Blazer preseason tonight, so we'll start in there. Web Gems is a fun story. We'll get to some NFL. We're all over the place today. It should be a fun show. Hang out with us. We're going to have a great time. But we'll start. It's back-to-back big games for Oregon, but for very, very different reasons. The approach on that. How to tackle a big game, but in a different way. We'll start there. This is the firm of Harrison Morang on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 10:16 here, Portland Sports Center. Don't you forget it. We're live from the shadows, the historic Fremont Bridge, 503-864-6326. 503-864-6326 is the Fan text line. Also, shout out to youtube.com/1051TheFan. Hang out with us in the chat. We're always having fun over there. On the text line, Harris, sorry, dude, you got to pay the $4. You're not just doing a baseball show anymore. You signed on to pair with Danny, so that means you got to know your Blazers. I mean, you need to watch the Blazers. Suck it up, big boy.
That's right.
So my response to them was, do you think I was being serious?
I mean,
of course I'm going to watch these games.
How are you going to watch?
I'm going to go buy an antenna today, all right? Leave me alone.
You can literally run down to, like, Fred Meyer Electronics and get it for like...
Well, first of all, I am not running anywhere. Yeah,
okay. Lightly move.
I'm not even into vehicle.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
yes.
I mean, like, you can pick up that little, the one that Russ is talking about, that you can pick it up basically anywhere.
They are not really thinking I'm being serious, but they are excited for the burner account.
There you go.
Just don't name it anti-HD antenna, because we all will know.
Yeah, there you go.
Now I kind of want to name it anti-HD antenna.
That would be a pretty good burner name.
It
also, there's like a 99% chance that name is already taken on Reddit.
I will try in the break. I will see. I will create a burner account on Reddit during the break and see what I can come up with.
It's kind of funny when you talk about names on platforms that existed for a long time. I had on Xbox Live, when Xbox Live first came out, my gamer tag.
Lowercase x, capital X, no. 6969420.
You don't have to put all like that, because my account is almost 20 years old. Well, my original account would be 20 years old. But back in the day, when you're if your subscription expired, your gamer tag could be snagged up. And when I went on a deployment, it expired. And I was like, ah, crap. But my OG account was just Moose. One word, no X's, no spaces, no dashes.
That's cool.
Yeah, and some freaking hacker ended up taking it and getting it banned totally and totally. So now it's the Moose.
Some hacker.
Oh, dude, I was on the other side of the planet. It wasn't me. But yeah, now it's just the Moosin.
The Moosin.
The Moosin.
The Moosin.
So... yeah, that one hurt.
I don't know.
It's also like the guy who squatted on my IG handle. He's still there. Monster.
I got some like automatic generated name on the Xbox a long time ago, and I think I still have it, and I have no idea what it is.
Like Precious Pup 424 or something like that.
I think it's Activist Tomb.
Yeah.
And then three numbers.
Yep. That's what it used to be. It used to be two words and then three numbers.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Activist Tomb. Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Yeah, there you go.
I have no idea what to think of that.
Yeah, I mean, random generated stuff.
I wonder what the numbers are. If there was a fourth number, I would just make that my PIN number. No one would ever know.
No one would ever know.
No one would ever know.
They won't know. They'll never know.
Like I said, we got Tyson Alger joining us at 10:30 today, as he always does on Wednesday, to talk Oregon Ducks. And this week is a big one. Game day will be in Autzen. You always love your game days in Autzen. Shout out to all of you going down for the game. Game day environment is dope. We had that conversation the other day. Are you happy to just have the one, or do you wish you had them all the time? Well, Duck fans, you get them all the time. So congratulations on that. Playing Indiana this weekend. Top 10 matchup again in back-to-back weeks. You throw a bye in there in the middle. But these are back-to-back games for different reasons. I think Penn State was you're on the road. That's one of the big differences. But also with Penn State, there was so much juice going into that game because of the expectations of Penn State, the unknown of Oregon and how they would deliver in a big game, whether it's just the team as a whole, Lanning and his coaching staff, or Dante Moore, up against the experience and the hungry and the James Franklin getting over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in a completely different place here now. We know what this Oregon team looks like. We know what they look like offensively as a full unit. I think as we waxed poetically last week about Tosh Lapoy kind of showing up again and being the guy on the defensive side, and we all know what Will Stein can do on the offensive side. So this game feels a lot different. This is the Oregon team that we know. The question is now, is Indiana up to the task?
And the task is very different. You're not going... No, to be clear, Indiana's defense, I think they're top 15 in basically like every metric that matters, as weird as that sounds, but their offense is off the charts. They have one of the best offenses in the country.
Now, I will ask, though, is it one of the best offenses in the country, or does just hanging 59, a 59-point win over Illinois help that?
Well, it also helps that they put up 56 against Kennesaw State, 73 against Indiana State. Like
Indiana State was Larry Bird playing?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, I mean, so that's...
They played them.
It's a little misleading.
And well, there's the... they played Iowa and they only scored 20. It's like, it's... Iowa.
Yeah,
they do
Iowa.
This to everyone.
Yeah, you can't blow them out in front of the kids either. That's not fair.
No, it's not fair. But Mendoza is a guy who should be considered a dark horse Heisman candidate. He has put up some crooked numbers.
I don't know if you can throw dark horse on his name anymore. I think he's front and center now.
Well, I mean, I don't think he's top five right now. Let me double check.
Mm. I mean, I think any for us watching college football, I think we're all aware of Mendoza.
Oh, for sure.
The future
see.
Quarterback of the New York Jets, let me tell you.
Right.
J-E-T-S.
Heisman odds as of today. Dante Moore is number one.
Duh.
I wouldn't call that a duh, but okay.
Well, he's got the biggest win of the resume of Heisman quarterbacks.
Does he?
of people in the running for Heisman quarterbacks?
Because Beck's too.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody thinks Beck's a Heisman guy.
I don't think either of them are. That's kind of the point.
Well, Dante for sure is a Heisman guy. Easy, okay. Rod.
Okay.
Easy, Rod.
Okay.
I mean, you can go down that path if you want. Sure. Dante Moore is for sure a Heisman
candidate. Sure, you threw for 240 yards against Penn State.
Against one of the best defenses in the nation in Penn State on the road at a whiteout.
Like,
in primetime.
Cool. One game. Thanks.
I don't know, man. I mean,
he
was
the betting favorite going into this past weekend to win the Heisman Trophy.
That's what I mean.
He's like second only behind Carson Beck.
No, he's number one now. Moore's one right now.
Dante
won. I'm looking at the odds right now.
Well, I think it was like yesterday or whatever I saw.
But that's what I'm saying. Is like the
but what I will say is you cannot say that about Dante Moore and then tell me Mendoza's a Heisman candidate because they both have only played one team.
But I'm saying that's why I said dark horse.
But I think if we watch college football, we all know what Mendoza's doing.
Mendoza's currently sixth.
That's good. That's good odds for me.
But the odds, the number right now, Dante's plus 500, Beck 600, Ty Simpson 750. He came out of nowhere.
We're going to talk a little SEC today, dude. Simpson's
Jeremiah Smith right is now. Still there, fourth, and he has yet to be Jeremiah Smith.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, he has yet to turn into the super freak that we saw last year.
Sure.
Mateer is still there, which...
Well, if he plays this weekend, that helps.
But that tells you just where this Heisman candidacy is for everyone. This isn't a shot at Dante. It just tells you where the Heisman is right now. Is that a quarterback that hasn't played in 2 weeks and still top five?
Well, because he's going to come back.
Oh, I know, but he's missed.
Maybe this weekend.
He's missing two games. Like, that's...
I wouldn't say they missed him.
Right? But then it's Mendoza, and then it's Sayin.
That's gross.
Like, that's like...
Well, I think they're assuming that Ohio State kind of figures it out. But it will be interesting to see how Mendoza handles this team because he hasn't played a defense nearly anywhere near what Oregon's going to throw at him.
God, I'm looking at this list, and it's just like, I don't like... Like, none of these feel like Heisman... Like, Jeremiah Smith is the only player who feels like a Heisman.
But he doesn't because
player.
That offense is but struggling.
Yes, but I'm talking about, like, it's like the caliber of player and like what they're capable of like being the best player. Like Heisman's the best player in the country. Dante Moore is not the best player in the country.
I don't think the Heisman is always the best player in the country. Otherwise, Andrew Luck would have two of those.
I know, but also in that category, who did he lose to?
Probably running backs from Alabama.
Who were...
Not the best players in college football.
Insanely productive.
Sure, but the Heisman is not the best player in college football.
It's the most outstanding player in college football.
Outstanding is different than best.
But you understand what I'm saying?
Totally.
Nobody has looked like the most outstanding player in the country. Nobody.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. It's not a shot at Dante. It's not a shot at Beck or any of those guys. None of these guys have looked like that's the most important, most outstanding, best player. Like, last year with Hunter and Genty, we knew.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two best, most important players in the country right now. They were such game breakers that you were just like, yeah. It's so weird that college football has yet to have one of those guys this season.
Well, we're only halfway through. No, and I'll tell you what, we keep talking about how this season is weird, and this is where things really start. Most teams have not played multiple opponents of quality. Miami's the outlier here. They're really the only resume that I know across the board.
They've played teams.
That they have played multiple teams. Notre Dame has played multiple teams.
They fell short twice.
They've lost twice.
In one score games.
This is Indiana and Oregon's second shot in a big game.
Yes.
And you know, Texas, Red River rivalries this weekend as well. The SEC's now all over the place.
So the analytics have this game 70-30. Likely win predictor in Oregon's favor. It's a 7.5-point spread right now.
It's such a big spread.
It has been basically cut in half since the beginning of the season.
We didn't know what to expect from Indiana.
But that's what I mean. Like, that just kind of shows you where the adjustment has happened over the course of the season.
Well, and what, like a day or two ago, was it 8.5?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it tells you there's some money coming on Indiana. That's pretty clear. I'm going to pick Oregon to win, I think. I'm probably at that same 70-30 level. But this is going to be a different... This is where we kind of started. This is a different test for Oregon. And I think the test is they're playing a team that offensively can actually hurt you. Penn State is not a team that was capable of hurting you.
No, they're offensively challenged.
Indiana is not. And we can say, well, they haven't really played anybody, and they
stunted... But the one team they did play, they
stunted on them. So that's the thing is, like... I look at them, they've got a quarterback in Mendoza, they've got two wide receivers in Cooper Jr. and Elijah Surratt, they've got a running game, their defense is like, it's not the best defense in the country, but it's capable, but that offense is going to stress you. And this is the test for Oregon. Do they come out a little bit slower, or is the offense good enough to be like, It's the supersized version of Ohio State Washington, where you're like, yeah, Washington's offense should be pretty good, but Ohio State defense is nuts. It's like, you know, who kind of wins that?
Yeah.
Because Ohio State's offense was kind of meh, but you also knew Washington's defense wasn't there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, we all know that, you know, Stein was pretty conservative in play calling against Penn State. Yeah, do they go that same route and kind of slow burn into this game, or do you want to test that Indiana defense early?
Well, I
that'll think be the real question, and that's what I'm talking about.
The other side,
say,
though, is do you think Cignetti's going to come out and play this slow?
No. I know what Cignetti's going to do. I don't know what Lanning's going
to
do.
And that's that. To me, that's what makes this interesting. Does Cignetti try to put his foot on the gas early and take Autzen out of it, which that's a difficult task?
Well, I think you have to. I think you can't.
Right?
You have to jump out to a lead, because I think if Oregon's offense starts clicking early, you're in for a rough day. It's going to be really hard with the amount of talent. The amount of explosion. Look, Mendoza's great, but he does not have the offense that Dante Moore has. And Cignetti is a great coach. He does not have the offense that Lanning and Will Stein has, in my opinion.
Ooh.
All around.
See, I think I disagree.
And because I think they're better in the running back room. I think they're better in the wide receiver room. Well, I think they're better at quarterback.
I'm going to fight you on the wide receiver spot.
And
Surratt and Cooper are probably going to be day one and day two wide receivers.
I think what I'm trying to say is that I don't think Cignetti wants to get in a shootout.
I think it's exactly what they want to do.
Ooh, I don't know. Wanting to be in a shootout is a scary place to live.
I mean, I think that's exactly what I think they want to. They want to just pour gas on this.
Maybe I'm a five toes down kind of guy, and that's why. But I don't think I ever want to be in a shootout with anybody. It's too much on the line. Too many variables. Too much human error steps in.
Well,
too much late pick in the fourth quarter ends your game kind of situation.
If you're talking Oregon, what's their identity? Is it their offense or their defense?
Right now, the identity is Dan Lanning and being prepared.
But it's defense.
I would say so. I think the identity leans closer to complete team.
But their identity is defense. If you're picking one unit, offense or defense, you're not taking
gun
the offense.
Gun to my head? Yeah, I'll probably take the defense.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you're Indiana, what's the unit you take?
Offense.
Okay, so which way are you going to lean? Would you rather get in a grinded out game with a team that is built on their defense and can play that style better than you can? Or would you rather try to put the pressure on them and go, keep up with us?
I think my argument might be that I have a better chance at grinding it out than a shootout. I have a better chance of beating that defense in a grind than thinking I'm going to shoot out with that defense.
But my point is on that side of it, if you can get in a shootout, that means your offense is that good.
Sure.
And if that's what you trust and that's what you believe in, I think that's where they're going to try to hang their hat. I could be wrong, but I mean, the total on this is actually relatively high, 54.5. It's not crazy high, but that's, you know,
I might take the over on that.
I think I would too. I mean, Oregon Penn State went to overtime, was 54. Like, do you think Indiana's only going to
17-3 at one point and it was not going to be 54?
No, but do you think Indiana's going to spend an entire half being inept offensively?
Depends on Oregon's defense. No, I don't expect it. I don't expect it. Not to be Penn State inept.
Yeah.
All right, we come back. We'll bring Tyson Algeron as he's our Ducks guy from the I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. We'll chat with him about this game and what it means and what to expect from the team as they come through. So stick with us. But first, we'll toss it to Russ with sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we do this every single Wednesday at 10:30. Our good friend Tyson Alcher of the I-5 Corridor Lookout, Eugene Springfield, our Ducks insider, joins us every Wednesday for a half hour to chat. And Tyson, welcome back to the show. Thanks, as always, for joining us. I want to start here. We'll just get right into it. Is it going to rain for the first time ever at Autzen this weekend?
It's kind of looking that way, guys.
Because I was told it never rains at Autzen Stadium.
You know, I can't vouch for whether precipitation has actually gotten onto the field. You know, I have a nice cushy spot in the press box. There's that big roof overhang. So, you know, I'm not going to come on your radio waves and disagree with the position that Oregon has been standing behind since, I believe, like 91-ish. But yeah, you know, it might rain around Autzen Stadium on Saturday.
I think that's one of the coolest, like, brags any school could ever have. You know, it never rains at Autzen Stadium. I don't know why, but that just gets my juices going.
It's a simple thing.
Yeah.
Life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's
well, explain this to me, Tyson. I got a question for you. The spread for this game is like 7.5. It's been as high as 8.5. Before the season, it was double digits. Despite this being a top 10 matchup, the spread, and I know we're not a gambling segment, but the spread sometimes talks about a lot about how people feel this matchup is going to go. It's a top 10 matchup. Why? What am I missing here? Why is the spread so big?
I don't know, to be completely honest. I think this is going to be an incredibly good matchup. I think, you know, Oregon is obviously the more established brand. I think people are used to seeing the Ducks in these games. This is kind of an outlier for Indiana and its entire program of having a top 10 game that's worth having game day in town for. So there just might be some, you know, people going with what they're used to on that side. But when you look at this game, Indiana is going to be the best offense that Oregon plays, I think, all season. Fernando Mendoza, I think, is going to be the best quarterback they play all season. And it's an offense unlike they've seen all year. You know, we made quite a bit about, you know, the experience that Penn State brought back and, you know, their ground game and Drew Aller being the most experienced returning quarterback in the Big Ten. And going into that game, that wasn't an explosive offense. It wasn't an explosive offense against the Ducks, save for a few plays in the fourth quarter. And then they were very unexplosive the week after playing UCLA. So I think that this is going to just be a major test going up against an offense that's averaging around like 50 points per game and just looks every bit as dynamic as Oregon's has on the other end. So I wouldn't be playing the numbers in terms of point spread in this one, because I think this is has the potential of just being a real big shootout.
That's exactly where Harris and I kind of started the show. I landed on, if you're Cignetti and you're Indiana and you have this offense and you have Mendoza and you have Surratt and you have Omar Cooper Jr. and you've got these weapons, you don't want to get in a grind out game. You actually want this game to be a shootout, because for me, it's not to say that Oregon's offense is limited. It's just that their identity is rooted in defense. And if you want to get in a grindy game with them, that's what they prefer. Do you look at it that way? Or Harris was on the other side of this and saying, I think you want it to be a little bit closer, because I think that's scarier for Indiana. If Indiana starts putting up points early and can take Autzen out of it a little bit and build the snowball, that to me feels like if they're going to find the upset, that's how they do it.
I mean, that's, When Oregon scored the first touchdown of the game against Penn State, and I know it wasn't an immediate thing, it took several drives, but the air that it took out of the 111,000 in that crowd was significant, and that aided the Ducks for much of that game until Penn State was able to get back in. With Oregon, Oregon's a team that can control the ball at home if they want to. They can take 7-minute long touchdown drives if they want, and they can take 2-minute long touchdown drives if they want. So if Indiana is able to come in and basically kind of dictate, like, you know what, we're going to come in here and we don't care about time of possession, we're just going to score quickly, I think that not only gets the air out of Autzen, but it also just kind of like gets them into a game where, you know, Oregon's defense is one that, like, when they get into a groove, like we've seen over the last 2-3 years with Tosh, like when they get into a groove, they can put up really good games. But also, like, even with this Oregon team, we've seen some big play potential against them. You know, the 2 fourth-quarter touchdowns by Penn State there. I just think Indiana's a very dangerous team and can test them in ways that we just haven't seen.
Let's stick there in Autzen Stadium. Tyson Alger joins us from the I-5 corridor. Lookout, Eugene Springfield. Let's talk Autzen for a moment. For a team like Indiana that 2 years ago we'd have never expected to, A, be in the top 10 or be in a giant matchup like this, is there any level of preparation you can do to actually be prepared for what Autzen Stadium is like? Or is it one of those things that no matter who you are, no matter what your program is, no matter how much prep you do, when you walk in there at kickoff, it is just different?
That's a good question. I mean, for a team like Indiana that probably hasn't had a whole lot of like hyped up games like this, it's going to be jarring regardless. You know, Austin's an illusion. You get in there and you start doing the math and it's like 59,000 people can't be this loud. And then it just happens, you know, it might not be the full base or floor level that like a crowd double the size can be, but I've been to a lot of college football stadiums now in my career, and I don't think any one that I've been to hits like the high gear at the right moments quite like Austin does. Now, there are ways that you can go about preparing for it. We saw the way that Oregon going into Penn State, they spent like the entire week with basically like boom boxes in the huddle, like trying to like rattle them and get them used to the noise. But I just think it's one of those things where you're going to have to deal with it. I think the rest of the Big Ten kind of got the picture when Ohio State fans came in and were awfully rattled by what they experienced at Austin about a year ago. So I think that was kind of like the bat signal to the rest of the conference of, okay, like Austin's real, like that's legit. But yeah, I mean, like Indiana hasn't had many games like this, so I think the stadium will still play a factor in that one.
He's Tyson Alger, the I-5 quarter, Lookout Gene Springfield. We'll take a quick break and come back and keep you with us. And we'll get into keys to the game and what part of Oregon's offense will it take to get this done. So stick with us. We'll be right back. 105.1 The Fan. All right, we're sticking here with Tyson. Talking about the big top 10 matchup in Eugene this weekend. 12:30, you can hear right here on the Fan Sports Network. Starts at 6 a.m., I believe, with Sports Saturday with Joe Fisher and Rashad.
Darn tootin'.
And then the pregame is at 8:30, right, Rusty?
That would be 8 o'clock, top of the hour.
8
taking
o'clock.
You all the way up until 10:30 when we hand it over to Jerry and Jorgie and good old Joey Mack and Dusty.
All right. But we have Tyson here joining us again, as he does every Wednesday at 10:30 for a half hour. And Tyson, we'll get back into this. Danny and I were having this question kind of when we started the show. You know, it felt, and we talked about this as well, it felt the Will Stein offense was pretty kind of like conservative and slow to get going against Penn State. I think there's a lot of just kind of feeling out your opponent and trying to get relaxed, and I understand that. Do you expect the same approach this weekend in kind of feeling out this Indiana team? Or do you feel, because you've got a big game under your book, you've seen some rhythm from the offense, do they just start going for it?
I think they're pretty aggressive from the start. Like, you have proof of concept. You have, you know, proof that these skill players in this offense can produce points like when it matters against a quality defense on the road. And so being at the confines of home and facing an Indiana team that, you know, I know Oregon's proud of its defense, but you're facing an Indiana team that has the potential to put up a lot of points. So I think this is one of those games where Oregon's going to be kind of going for it from the start. And if you look at just kind of throughout the history of Dan Lanning, I don't believe the Ducks have lost a game when they've scored first under Lanning yet. So it's just like there's just certain little stats that kind of match up. And then when you get kind of like the crowd behind you at home, I just think it's real important for them to, you know, maybe come out with either incredibly physical drive, or if they can hit like a Dante or a DeCorian Moore or Kenyon Sadiq, or even maybe get like Malik Benson back into the fold too. I just think it's, the Ducks have some momentum. I know they had the bye, but I think that was beneficial just for them to get rested and healthy. And this is a team that knows that it can compete against anybody now.
Tyson, we were having this discussion in the break, and Duck fans are going to think this is some kind of like backhand or something along those lines. But this defense is really good. There's not a hole on it. But it feels like, and that's not just something that pertains to Oregon. It feels like it pertains to really to college football. When you look at this Oregon defense, does there feel like there's a star on this defense? Because I look around college football right now, and the only guy that I'm looking at, like, this guy is going to ruin your game plan, is Ohio State with Caleb Downs. And I feel like when you look at Oregon, Thieneman is really good. Mateo is really good. Bryce is really good. Like, there's a lot of guys that are really good. But it feels like they're not only them, but across the country, the defensive star doesn't feel like it's there in college football. Do you feel like that with Oregon?
Yeah, because, I mean, like, if you were to ask me, like, who the best defensive player on Oregon is right now, I'd have to think about it for quite a bit of time. You know, I think Mateo is probably the closest to being a star, just because he can be, you know, from game to game, a potential game wrecker, just where he's coming off from the edge. But I think kind of like the magic in Oregon is that they just have like a pretty good balance of guys around that level. I mean, we've, you can talk about Thienemann in the defensive backfield. You can talk about Betcher. I feel like Tatum Tuioti gets overlooked quite a bit, especially for the amount of tackles for a loss he racks up. But, like, no, this isn't, you know, the Ducks don't have a Caleb Downs. Not a whole lot of the rest of the country does. And, you know, I sometimes wonder if Oregon had less dudes, if maybe, like, we'd be talking about one in kind of more of a star fashion. But I just think, you know, when you get a roster and recruiting classes that are entirely made up of blue chips, it just kind of balances that out a little bit. And, you know, for Oregon, I think, again, going back to Thienemann, I think that he had kind of big-time potential to be that guy. And we did see the game-winning pick. We also saw him kind of give up a couple yards in that game, too, in crucial plays. So I just think, you know, it's not quite like offensive right now, where you do have kind of a lot of star factor on a lot of different rosters.
What's the unit that's going to win this game for Oregon? Is it DBs? Is it the line? Is it something offensively? What do you feel is the key, that specific group that you, Tyson, are going to be watching?
I think it's a mixture of the DBs and the defensive line. I really think that this is a game where Amari Washington and Bear Alexander are going to have the opportunity to kind of prove their mettle. The interior of Indiana has a good offensive line. I think the interior is a little bit weaker. So if they're able to kind of get through there and not only stop the run, but also put some pressure on Mendoza, I think that will be really key. And especially it will help out Oregon secondary that right now is ranked within the top 10 in national defensive passing efficiency and yards allowed. Just same with Indiana's, but they have a lot of young players in that secondary, whether it's like Aaron Flowers or Ifi, or, you know, just some of the kind of the redshirt freshmen, sophomores, or even younger guys that are playing there. So that'll be a real big test for them when, like, they're going to absolutely be depended on. And then on the flip side, I think if Oregon can still get the balance of the running game that they've had, I mean, good luck guessing who's going to be their lead back in this game. It seems like it's a continual cast of, or a continual dance of musical chairs. But if Dante Moore can continue to just be effective and not turn the ball over in key situations, I like the way that Oregon's offense is going to be able to run against Indiana.
How does Oregon lose this game? I always like to come at it from this angle because they've been the favorite. They've had the upper hand, as it were. But I always want to look at it from what happens if, or how does it happen if Oregon steps in the bear trap?
You know, if they get a little too aggressive and maybe they keep going for some of those four downs and they have some turnover on downs and all of a sudden they're playing an offense that can capitalize on mistakes like that, or if there's turnovers, you know, we're five games into the season and Oregon's been incredible in turnover ratio. They've taken care of the football. They haven't really shot themselves in the foot a whole lot. They're not a penalized team hardly at all. I think they had four last week against Penn State, and that was coming off of one, which was coming off of zero. So I think the way Oregon loses this game is just if they hurt themselves, or if they take a couple drives to get going, because I do think Indiana's going to score points in this game. I think the Ducks have the ability to score points as well, but it's just, you know, if you kind of come out with that bye game or that bye week hangover, and meanwhile Indiana's getting up for one of the biggest games in its program history, you know, I could see momentum playing a factor in this one. But, you know, if you go down position group by position group, I think the Ducks have equal to better talent at just about every place. I mean, you can make maybe an argument at quarterback, but you're arguing between two guys who are the Heisman front runners right now. So that's a bit of a wash. So I just think that, you know, having home crowd and getting off to a good start would be key in Oregon moving to 6-0 already.
He's Tyson Alger. Check out the I-5 corridor. Look out Eugene Springfield, wherever you can, and get his stuff. What are you writing this week? I always like to give you a plug.
Oh boy, what am I writing this week? I am writing a story for tomorrow, just kind of catching up on Dante Moore and how, you know, this is a kid who has been basically a football celebrity since Jim Harbaugh offered him a scholarship when he was in middle school. But it kind of changes a little bit when all of a sudden, like, that potential turns into a top 10 win on the road with game day in town, and all of a sudden you're the Heisman front runner. So I find it interesting how a player like that kind of deals with another level of expectation thrown upon him.
Well, thank you, friend. Enjoy the game. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
He is Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. Great stuff. Great guy. Great friend of the entire station here. We love him and everything he does. You can catch him on our show every Wednesday from 10:30 to 11 as he's kind enough to give us two segments worth of his time as we chat about the Oregon Ducks taking on the Indiana Hoosiers in a top 10 matchup. It still feels weird to say. We'll put a pin in this. We'll swing back around at the Big Nooner and hit some more talking points on this game as we look forward to it. As Wednesdays have kind of become our Ducks day.
Well, yeah.
Right? For you and me. Wednesdays, thanks to Tyson, and it's kind of just a good middle of the week kind of thing to ramp up. So we'll get back more on that in the Big Nooner here. But when we come back, we'll slide over to the NFL. Is it time to write off this quarterback, even if it's not his fault? We'll do that next. Loaded hour number two. Don't go anywhere. 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.